Knowing how to speak and understand a new language can be an invaluable tool when traveling, meeting new friends, or just even to master a new skill. But it's not always simple when you're bogged down by textbooks and structure classes. That's why so many people trust Rosetta Stone. Rosetta Stone is the most trusted language learning program, available on desktop or as an app. It truly immerses you in the language you want to learn, like Spanish, French, Italian, Chinese, and more. You won't just be studying English translations. The Rosetta Stone intuitive process helps you pick up a language naturally, first with words, then phrases, then sentences. Don't put off learning that language. There's no better time than right now to get started. For a very limited time, listeners can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off. Visit rosettastone.com/rs10. That's 50% off unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your life. Redeem your 50% off at rosettastone.com/rs10 today.
Is your child struggling with a specific subject or need help with homework? Are they asking questions that you're not sure you can fully answer? IXL Learning is an online learning program for kids. It covers math, language arts, science, and social studies. IXL is designed. This program will improve your kids' grades. Studies done in almost every state in the country, the kids who had IXL are consistently doing better. Powered by advanced algorithms, IXL gives the right help to each kid no matter the age or personality. And it doesn't have to eat up all your time. One subscription gets you everything for all the kids in your home, pre-K to 12th grade. So don't miss out. 1 in 4 students in the U.S. are learning with IXL. IXL is used in 95 of the top 100 school districts in the U.S. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now. And listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXL.com/audio. Visit IXL.com/audio to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price.
If you are the interloper, and if you coming in, sitting where there was other people who had to allow you in, I think it is your job as a fucking human being to at least acknowledge the presence of the motherfucker that you sitting next to. Don't act like you're not sitting next to a whole ass human being. It don't take nothing to say, hi, how are you today? Now, that don't mean I want to talk to your bitch ass all the way to Boston. I don't want to see a picture of your dog and no shit like that. I'm just saying you should motherfucking speak.
On this episode of The Commercial Break,
you know, the devil works in strange ways. And I was just like the Lord, and I was in the vault, and the bitch turned her back, and the money was right there. I just grabbed the stack and put it in my bra, right?
Yeah.
So, you know, I had to work the rest of the day sweating with this money in my bra.
The next episode of The Commercial Break starts now.
Back to The Commercial Break. I'm Brian Green. This is the luscious liaison of The Commercial Break, Kristen Joy Hoadley. Best to you, Chrissy.
Best to you, Brian.
And best to you out there in the podcast universe.
Universe.
Have you ever been stung by something that like made you swell up really big? Like Jeff's DD Cantors? Do you ever get into the snake pit with Jeff and his snake just bites you and you swell up like
time.
A balloon?
All the time.
That's what I imagine is going on.
Well, what really stings? I mean,
a bee, a scorpion,
or like
a hornet,
jellyfish,
a wasp, a jellyfish.
I think a jellyfish.
Yeah.
Yeah.
My kid got stung by a jellyfish one time. And not stung by a jellyfish, but ran into a jellyfish,
right.
I guess. I'm assuming that's what happened. And his poor little leg just, like, he had these little, like, whip
yeah.
marks across his leg. It looked like it hurt. But I left him in the water because I had things to do. I had to put on sunscreen.
You'll be fine.
I was getting a tan. I was like, go look for help. Look at all the lifeguards. They don't have something to say about this. What are you looking at me for? Like, I know how to handle a jellyfish stick. Come on, kid, grow up.
Aren't you supposed to pee on something?
You are supposed to pee on something. Yes, you can pee on it. It's true. You can pee on a jellyfish because apparently it has something to do with, like, not vinegar, but base, right? Acid or base. I remember in school when you used to learn about acids and bases, and acids don't taste good,
true.
But bases taste weird or something like that. I forgot how it all goes.
Yeah.
Because I'm not a scientist, per se. I play one on TV, but I'm not really. But I don't know. He survived. Anyway, I'm reading a story.
I was just contemplating if I would be able to pee on demand, like at the beach, if it was needed.
Oh, at my age, I could pee on demand. No problem. I can pee on any good, at any time.
I don't know if I could, like, at the beach in front of everybody. I don't know. But it would be much easier for
like
a man
in
to
an
do
emergency it. Situation, yeah. I would pee on somebody. And but, you know, you're at the Disney Island or wherever you were, and here I am whipping my dick out to pee on a child. That's the best idea.
See, that's what I was just thinking.
What is going on over there? I'm saving the children. I'm doing it for the
anybody
kids.
Anybody else stung?
Yeah. Don't look at it. It gets smaller. Thanks. Anybody else have kids who need to be peed on? Right. No? I'm saving the kids. I got a free pee station over here. Sponsored by Disney. Look at the snowflakes now, peeing on kids at Disney Island.
Oh, yeah. It's gonna be a whole thing.
No, we went to the lifeguard station and they poured some vinegar on him. I forgot what they poured on him. Something that actually helped him out. And it wasn't that bad. Like, he wasn't even crying when he got the sting, but I could see the whip marks and they were swelling up. And I was like, I better go check that. I better get that checked out.
Yeah.
But the reason why I asked this is I think I got stung by a bee once.
Well, you had that spider bite.
I had the spider bite that turned into necrosis. Like, my actual skin was dying.
That was like a year ago.
Yeah, that was kind of crazy, actually. That's right. I totally forgot about that. I had a bee bite one time where my arm swole up for like, I don't know, you know, let's call it 5 hours. It had like almost like a half baseball on my arm. And I'm not allergic to bees that I know of, but it really hurt. It's the first time I think I've been stung by a bee, at least as an adult that I can remember. And man, did it hurt like a son of a bitch. Instantly hurt like a son of a bitch.
Did it just sneak up on you and sting you? Or were you trying to kind of fight it off?
I had no idea. I was golfing with my brothers and Hilton Head or something like that. It was a sneak and sting. Here's my kid get stung by a jellyfish. He doesn't cry. You know, it takes us 20 minutes to get to the lifeguard station because, of course, I don't know where it is. So we're walking in circles. I get stung by a bee and I'm crying the entire way home. Literally. Like, drive that golf cart faster. It hurts so bad. The guy I was riding with was like, Pete, you're such a ninny. What are you doing? Get over it.
You'll be okay.
Here's why I ask. Because I was reading a story. Scorpion stings traumatized Las Vegas hotel guest in the testicles.
Oh.
In the testicles.
Ooh.
A scorpion sting in the testicles cannot be the best part of your trip to Las Vegas.
No.
Of course.
Unless you're looking for that.
Unless you're looking for that kind of thing, mm-hmm. You'll find it in Vegas. Yep. Trust me. California man has lawyered up. God damn it. This is what's wrong with this country. You're in the fucking desert in Las Vegas. I don't care what kind of hotel room you're in. There are scorpions. They're all around. It's like having roaches in Florida or Georgia. It's like having mosquitoes, you know, when you go to, I don't know, Mozambique or wherever they have tons of mosquitoes. At the end of the day, you're in their environment.
Sure.
How does the hotel responsible? How can they keep every scorpion out of a hotel? Okay, well, I'll get through the story, even though now I'm pissed off. California man lawyers up and is considering a lawsuit after being stung in the testicles by a scorpion that crawled into his bed at a luxury hotel in the Las Vegas Strip Resort. Around 8 a.m. on December 26, Mr. Farachi, 61 years old, woke up in his suite at the Venetian. Oh, woke up at his suite. Okay, well, that's different. You paid for the suite.
Yeah, that's true.
The suite's like on the top floor?
Yeah.
Wow, that scorpion. Have tail will travel. He woke up at the Venetian to a searing pain in his groin area. You sure it was the scorpion?
Right.
You're 61, dude. According to attorney Brian Vierk. Roused suddenly from his sleep, Farachi rushed into the bathroom to figure out what was happening, only to spot an orange scorpion clinging onto the front of his boxer briefs. I have been bitten by a scorpion at my groin/testicles, Farachi wrote in an incident report. In it, Farachi said he was in bed when he was stung, and his symptoms included a lot of pain. He told KLAS that the sensation was like someone stabbing me in my balls. It felt like sharp glass or a knife. Farachi, a contractor from Agora Hills, said he was shocked by what happened. He couldn't believe it. Farachi had the presence of mind, as if he got his arm chopped off or something. The guy got bit by a scorpion. Give me a break. Had the presence of mind to snap several photographs of the scorpion hanging from his underwear. of which there's some pictures here.
I would be not focusing on taking pictures right away if I saw a scorpion on me. I would want to get it off.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it was hanging on his boxers. So he took the boxers off and then he took... It's so stupid. Because he knows he wants a lawsuit now. The Venetian comped Faraci's room for the night, but Vierg says the hotel staffers were very, very dismissive and unapologetic. What did you want them to do? It's their fault that there was a scorpion in your boxers? Couldn't you have picked that up along the way? Like, maybe it was on your clothing when you walked into the hotel. Maybe you were sunning yourself earlier. It walked onto your bathing suit. It got in your room. This is not the staffer's fault. You're going to sue them because the staffers weren't apologetic enough? What a douche canoozle. Mr. Faraci, grow a pair of extremely swollen balls.
Right.
And stop it. This is why this country sucks sometimes, is because you can literally sue anybody for any reason at any time. And this is one of those ridiculous lawsuits that makes no sense. It was an accident. Shit happens. They comped your room, a suite at the Venetian in Las Vegas. You're fine. Everything's fine. Stop it. Stop with your bullshit. The staffers aren't supposed to bend hand and knee on foot, kissing the ring of Mr. Faraci because you got an orange scorpion on your testicles. Stop it! Stop with your testicle balls complaining and move on with life. That's what I have to say. You're obviously doing well for yourself if you're staying at the suite at the Venetian.
Obviously.
Either that or you're gambling a whole shit ton of money away. Either way, you got expendable cash. Move on. Leave it alone. And you know what I would ask for? Can I have this room comped? And would you mind if doing this again another weekend down in the future?
Right.
And then I might leave it at that.
Maybe
right?
Pay for the doctor visit or something. I don't know what he had to do.
But if the maids weren't running in immediately with ice packs and ready to rub cream all over my swollen testicles, I would sue. That's the kind of guy I am.
That's where you
that's
cross
right.
the line.
You know who wouldn't sue? Because of getting bitten in the testicles? Lunel, our guest today on TCB infomercials. Probably because she doesn't have testicles, but regardless, you get what I'm saying. Lunel, extraordinarily funny lady who has been around so many blocks it's not even funny. Lunel has an incredible and crazy story. You know her from probably Borat is where you know her from. She played the prostitute, Borat's prostitute, in that movie. But she's a noted comic all over the place.
She's got a residency in Vegas.
Yes, she does a residency in Vegas with Jimmy Kimmel every couple of weeks. She is now going to be at the Apollo Theater. The real Apollo Theater.
Legendary.
That's right. And let me tell you exactly when that day is. I know when it is because
it's the
26th of April. You can get your tickets. They are now available. This is the first time that Lunel has been headlining herself at the Apollo Theater. We're excited to talk to her about it today. You can go to @Lunel, which is L-U-E-N-E-L-L. I kept saying Lunel, but it's not Lunel. Like I'm adding extra vowels into her name. @Lunel on Instagram. She's fucking hilarious. We're super excited to have this legend of comedy on our show today. TCB infomercial with Lunel. Get your tickets to that Apollo Theater headlining show on the 26th of April 2024, in case you're listening to this way in the future, you've already missed it. And what I would like to do, Chrissy, if it's okay with you, if you don't mind, because I do like to get your permission before we do anything, if you don't mind.
Do you?
I like to think I do.
Okay.
Pastor thinks the same thing.
Yeah.
I'm like, but we talked about it. She's like, no.
you talked about it.
I didn't agree to it. But I think you can agree we want Lunel on the show, right?
Yes.
So let's take a short break. Let's get her in here. We're super excited to have Lunel, legend of comedy, on the commercial break. We'll be back.
I know you're already on your phone, so pull up Instagram and follow us at The Commercial Break, and then follow us on TikTok at TCB Podcast. Done? Perfect. Thank you. Since you're at the ready, why not text us hello at 212-433-3TCB? Or if you've got some drama in your life, a little fun story, or anything really, we're desperate for content. Call and leave us a message at 212-433-3TCB. And don't forget to check out tcbpodcast.com because that's got it all. Speaking of having it all, let's listen to our fabulous sponsors and get back to the commercial break.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hey, Podcast Universe. I'm super excited to be talking about an old friend of mine, Jordan Harbinger, and his podcast, The Jordan Harbinger Show. You know that Chrissy and I don't do a lot of talking about other podcasts, but The Jordan Harbinger Show definitely deserves a mention, and here's why. Imagine the serious version of the commercial break, where you actually learn facts from actual experts and in-depth interviews. All the crazy, interesting, weird, and philosophical stuff that we find on the commercial break to have fun with, Jordan takes some of those same topics, and he applies a degree of serious journalism to it, and he is an excellent interviewer, maybe one of the best in the business, in my opinion. We know for a fact that a lot of people who listen to the commercial break also listen to The Jordan Harbinger Show. So if you haven't yet taken a listen, go search The Jordan Harbinger Podcast on Apple or wherever you get your podcasts, or head over to his website, jordanharbinger.com. That's H-A-R-B as in boy, I-N as in Nancy, G-E-R. Jordan has been a longtime supporter of the show, and many people have written in and thanked me for turning them on to Jordan Harbinger, including one of our staff members who is like a Jordan Harbinger super fan. And to quote her, Jordan Harbinger is like the commercial break with actual facts and a lot less laughing. We think you're going to love The Jordan Harbinger Show, so go search on Apple, wherever you find your podcasts, or get started with those starter packs at jordanharbinger.com. And we want to thank Jordan for being a supporter of the commercial break.
You hear that? Your dog knows spring is coming sooner than you think. Dog walks, dog parks, playing fetch, all the stuff your dog loves to do with you. But the warmer weather also means that fleas and ticks are coming back. Fleas and ticks are in the grass, in the woods, and even on their dog friends. Fleas are an itchy nuisance, can easily get into your home, furniture, and beds, which can be terrible. Ticks are even worse. They're hard to spot, but can carry disease and get your dog really sick. PetMeds has your furry friend protected with the best products to prevent flea and ticks all year long. PetMeds pharmacists connect directly with your vet to save you time and deliver the best products for your pet. PetMeds offers low prices on all flea and tick meds, including NexGard, Simparica, and more. And PetMeds AutoShip helps you save even more with additional discounts on regular shipments of PetMeds, dog food, and other high-quality supplies. So get ready for all the spring fun now. Visit PetMeds.com and use promo code PODCAST to save 40% on your first auto ship order. That's petmeds.com and promo code podcast.
And Lunel is here with us now. Hi, Lunel. Thanks you so much. We're grateful for your time today. How are you?
Hi, I'm good. I'm real good.
Okay, Lunel, inquiring minds want to know. I have a question for you. You seem like the type of human being that gets invited to all the parties, because I just, your personality, as I know it, as a gentleman looking at you on your comedy specials and your podcast appearances and all that, you look like you get invited to all the parties and that you probably don't turn down many invitations. Like, you're out there doing your thing. What is your party exit style? Do you do Irish goodbyes? Do you wait? Are you the last person at the party, or do you leave hugs and kisses out the door?
First of all, you're absolutely correct. I do get invited to a lot of things.
I can imagine.
But I don't go to as many as I used to, because now I like to be a little bit more exclusive.
Oh, that's right.
My style is to just leave. Because if you say that you're leaving, now, let me get a picture. And so now you're 35 more minutes in there taking pictures because you have announced that you're leaving. I just slowly sneak out the door and leave. Is that Irish?
Yes.
That's an Irish goodbye.
And as
from Irish descendants, I will tell you right now, we have perfected this. And I think you're 100% on the mark. And I'm not famous. No one recognizes me. I have a face for radio. That's why we do a podcast. So I just leave.
I have a body for radio. But listen, you want to know about the craziest party that I this isn't going to air tonight, but tomorrow night, I'm invited to a party. Do you want to know what it is?
Of course.
Yes.
It will have happened by the time this airs. So listeners, you have to go on my Instagram. You'll probably see pictures of what I'm about to talk about.
Okay.
Tomorrow night, I'm invited to go see Madonna.
What?
Oh, yes.
With Rosie O'Donnell, Kathy Griffin, Sia, Paris Hilton, and Katy Perry.
Wow.
No fucking way.
That's the crew.
Lunell, that is like you are rolling with rolling that deep. Is a straight A-list rolling deep right there.
I know, and I have no, you know, one of these things is not like the other. I have no business in that clique. But Kathy and I are comics.
So yep.
She invited me to her home where I met everybody else. And then Rosie was a comic, you know.
Yeah, sure.
And then Sia took a liking to me, and so I've been in this little clique ever since. Yeah.
do you guys go out often, or is it just like a group of girls that like occasionally you guys say, "Hey, let's go do this because it's really cool," or do you hang out more frequently than that?
Well, that whole clique has come to Vegas to see me.
Yeah, at Jimmy Kimmel's
private jet, and
holy shit.
Then we go over to Kathy's. In Malibu, and we go to see us. So we do things from time to time.
How fun.
Now, have you ever like had FaceTime with Madonna, or is this your first time being in the same?
This will be my first time. I may or may not meet her because I know the click is going backstage, but I have a 1:30 red eye.
Oh.
If Madge is not on time,
she won't be
I've
on
heard
time.
That she, I've heard yeah. that she's not. But see, I don't, let me just say this about that. As a audience member of anything, as a person who came up through the theater and as a comic, I do not know how they sustain a career not being on time.
Yes.
I think it's disrespectful to your audience, her, Lauryn Hill, and other people who do that habitually. You know, things happen. And you can be late clearly. But to be known for being late, I think it's hugely disrespectful.
Agreed.
And costly. Because if you go overtime, there are significant fees per minute that the artist is charged for these venues. So I don't see how they sustain a career. I don't. Because we could never.
You grew up in theater, so I think it's referred to as a pregnant pause. Like, you pause for effect, right? You're getting the audience anticipating something. So I can see 5,
that's
10, 15 minutes.
But
yeah,
these
that's
people
right.
are like yeah. 2 hours late.
Yeah, and that's crazy. That's,
yeah. And it's just like, so disrespectful.
I
How
agree
do you maintain
you.
Your career? I don't understand it. I wouldn't hire anybody who do that. Nope. I don't care how much money they would draw in. I wouldn't work with anybody like that. And I don't give a damn who it is.
There you go.
Well, I'm jealous because I grew up listening to Madonna, and then to be in that group of pretty exclusive human beings going, I'm hoping for you that Madge decides to get her butt on time.
I hope so, because I got a red eye, bro. I gotta go. So
where
we'll
are you
have
seeing
the
her?
Group shot. I'm seeing her in Los Angeles. I think the Crypto or something. I'm not sure, but I will have the group shot of me and the girls. And then even if I don't get it with Madge, I'll get their group shot and explain that I had to go. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So stay tuned to
at
Lunell on Instagram, and you'll see the results.
Your Instagram is fantastic, by the way. And I love your constant homages to Prince, who is a favorite here in the room. Mm-hmm. I know you have a tattoo. You've taken it to a whole nother level. That's the revolution. That's
I know.
The artist formerly known as Prince, the symbol design, Prince,
yeah.
Revolution. And
on my microphone hand, yeah.
And then
but I also
somewhere.
Have Bad in red that Michael
nice.
Has.
Oh, that's
on.
The Bad cover. Yeah.
So I have to have both because I grew up and it was always pitting one against the other. Pick Michael or Prince. Michael or Prince. Which one is it? It's both.
I think it's both.
I was at his last concert here in Atlanta, Prince.
At Michael's?
No,
oh, Prince's.
Yes.
You were.
Yes. So sad that he died, very shortly after that. But, what a show. It was his piano and a microphone.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. He's
amazing.
Such a beautiful artist. And my very first concert that I ever went to, like real concert that I ever went to, was the Bad Tour.
Nice.
The Michael Jackson
wow.
Bad Tour.
Wow, look
I know.
At that.
My parents.
Both of you are this.
Yeah,
yes,
that's
we're
right.
That. That's right.
We're
Michael
on the
Jackson
same side, too.
Hey, Lunell, I got to agree with you about something when it comes to airplanes. I think one of our intrepid researchers found out that you consider yourself the unofficial air marshal of every flight that you're on.
Self-appointed.
Self-appointed air marshal.
Appointed unofficial air marshal, Sharon.
I've been saying this on this show since probably episode number one. Airline travel is fucking miserable. Everyone acts like animals when they start getting close to an airplane. And when you get on the flight, please don't bother me. I don't need your conversation. I probably don't want your conversation. Now, you probably don't roll like I do. I would imagine you're a very familiar face. Like, you've been doing this for a long time. It's hard. It's probably hard to go most places without being noticed by at least a few people, especially an airport. But I just don't want to be bothered. Do you find being a celebrity that people are just bothersome if you end up sitting next to them on the plane? They're like, oh, Leah Lunell, tell me your story. I want to hear all about it. Like, kind of like the commercial break, kind of like here on this podcast.
Well, first of all, I'm very undercover when I go to the airport. I have on a mask, I have on shades, smart. I have on stuff like this, although they may be a little opulent, but, you know, I'm usually undercover. A lot of times it's my voice that gives me away. Or it could be my nails, which I don't have on now because I was doing a project and I had to get rid of the nails. They'll be back. When I sit, I travel first class. And as I was saying in the special, 90% of the time, nobody even speaks to me. They don't even say, good morning, how are you? I think that is required that you do that.
But then as far as...
You know, I don't want to hear about your lupus treatments and shit like that. I don't, you know, I don't need to know all that. And then sometimes I just lie because I'm never going to see you again. The minute the bell rings for you to get your bag, we're done. And why should I sit and tell you my life story? You're nobody, you know, unless we're going to continue a relationship, which we normally don't. So
sure.
I just lie and say my father's an heiress and, I mean, an heir to a fortune, and I'm married to a Lebanese millionaire. You know, I say shit like that.
That's fun. You're the whole character.
Because who cares? You know, why are you spilling your life to a stranger? But if I do start talking, every now and then some people can be fun, or every now and then people will progressively get drunk. I don't.
Yes. No.
Or you know, but I do think it's required that people say, hello, how are you today? Something like that. And don't act like you're not sitting next to somebody, because if some shit goes down, you're going to be grabbing my hand, talking about, oh my God, help me, save me. So, you know.
That's so true.
I mean, if you didn't speak, you'd be on your own, because you didn't even speak. You know what I mean?
Get your own flotation device.
That's right. Yeah. Fuck you. Get your own oxygen mask.
But you can see that whole scenario play out if you do watch the Netflix. My Netflix comedy special, I talk extensively about airplane travel.
It's so funny. I just watched it last week. When do you think, so you're like a bona fide celebrity, and I know that you probably put on this mask because you just don't, sometimes, like every human being in the world, and most of us don't have to worry about this, we just really don't want to be bothered. We want to go about living our lives and do our things, go to the grocery store, go to the wherever without being bothered. When did you really start getting recognized? Was it after Borat or before, previous to Borat? Was that like an inflection point for you when everyone was like, oh my gosh, you were in that movie, Borat?
Well, see, I have two different demographics.
Sure.
I have my white demographic and I have my black demographic. So my black demographic has known who I am for years.
Yeah.
The white demographic didn't really recognize me until Borat.
Borat. Yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah,
and then after that, it was a wash after that. And then now, you know, I've done, you know, like I'm always sunny and it's always sunny in Philadelphia.
You were hilarious.
I'm on Hacks with James Smart right now.
I love that show.
Yeah, I do too.
That show is amazing. Gene Smart is one of my favorites.
And it mirrors my life, you know. It's about an older female comic in Las Vegas. So that's me.
Yeah.
Do you, you're doing the residency at Jimmy Kimmel's in Vegas?
Yes, I've been there since 2019, actually, but when the doors opened, but I just started in 2019, then 20 and 21, we were shut down.
Right.
Sure.
So I came back at the end of 22. No, I came back in 20. He didn't even open for almost a year after they said Vegas could open.
Okay.
He didn't open. Because Jimmy's Club is not in a casino. It stands alone in the Link Promenade. And so he had the ability to do or not do whatever he wanted to.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. So he didn't open immediately, still paranoid. He didn't want anybody to get COVID in his club. So I came back in 2023, and I'm continuing on now.
So do you maintain residency, you were telling us before we started, maintain residency in Las Vegas, I mean, like an actual house, in Vegas, in L.A. Do you, which one do you prefer? Do you like being in Vegas?
Well, I have a bigger, more plush house in Vegas because you get more bang for your buck in Las Vegas. The house I have in Las Vegas, if you picked it up and put it in Los Angeles, it'd be 3.5 or more.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I definitely didn't pay that in Vegas, and I'm in a gated community, and I have a swimming pool and all that stuff in Vegas. My house here in Los Angeles is in the Crenshaw District. It's an older home. It's still very cute, very cozy, very comfortable, but it's a one-car garage. I got a three-car garage. You know, I don't have a pool. Like a, so it's, you know, I like them both.
Yeah, but
of course, I prefer the home in Vegas, of course.
Right, yeah.
Okay, so I heard you tell a story, and I heard you say something, and I want you to tell me, is this true? And then follow up, if you could, with the actual story. You robbed a bank once, went to jail for a couple of months for it?
Technically, it's called embezzlement.
Oh.
But it is, in fact, bank robbery. And yes, that's true. I was working for a bank, so I actually stole from the bank that I worked at.
Oh, so you actually were an employee at the bank. So that's why they called it embezzlement.
Yeah.
And then tell me if this story comes full circle. So you go to jail for a couple of months, and then you get out of jail. You go straight to a comedy club to do comedy. Do not pass go. Is that correct?
Yes. Within days of getting out, because of course I had no clothes.
Right.
Because you go to jail, even if you go to jail for 8 months, you're going to be released in the same clothes you were arrested in.
Yep.
Unless somebody brings you clothes, and nobody did. So I got arrested in my pajamas. So I didn't go straight to the comedy club. I went to my girlfriend's house on the bus in the pajamas. And then she bought me some clothes. And within a few days, I went to the comedy store because I felt the need to purge myself. That's how much I love comedy. Before I even went home to see my child, I went to a comedy club. And then I went home.
Wow. And then is it true that like a year later or some change later, you actually ended up filming a movie at the same place where you spent time?
Yeah. So.
This is crazy. You have to tell me this. Yeah.
I did The Rock with Sean Connery and Nicolas Cage.
Oh, great movie. Yeah.
And in some scenes in The Rock, they were shot at Twin Towers Correctional Facility, which was brand new. The jail in Los Angeles was called Sybil Brand. Sybil Brand was in the process of closing because it was so raggedy, and Twin Towers was opening. In between that time, they filmed some scenes in The Rock. In Twin Towers, they filmed some scenes from The Rock in Twin Towers.
That's
so
crazy.
By the time I got arrested and was incarcerated in Twin Towers, the movie had came out, so I'm actually in a movie that was filmed in a jail that was I was incarcerated in.
That's incredible.
That is insane.
You can't write. You can't make this shit up.
He cannot make that shit up.
Make that shit up. What a full circle moment. It's like, listen, I'm sure that you didn't steal the money because you wanted to go buy a pair of, you know, fancy pants or get a brand new car. I'm sure it was, you know, you felt like you needed the money, right? But then full circle, now you're filming a movie with the movie stars of the moment at that time, Sean Connery and Nicolas Cage, and you're, you know, one of the actresses in this movie. That must have felt good. Like, it must have been like, wow, this is, I did it. Like, I pulled myself out of this moment, and here I am. And I just think that's such a great full circle. I mean, such a, I don't know, like a graphic representation of a full
circle
moment.
Well, in full disclosure, I actually did steal the money just because. I didn't take it to help somebody and their cancer treatment or any shit like that. But I felt what it was the tellers in the bank, which I was one, And I had criminal mentality. You know, that wasn't the only scam I did at the bank. But the tellers at the bank, I feel, are the face of the bank. They're Absolutely. The people who interact with the customers. They're the people who build relationships with the customers, who people trust with their funds and stuff like that. So we're the ones. It's the tellers. Then after, this was, you know, 28 years ago. Sure. Then if you work 2 weeks with all this money and you get a paycheck that's only like $235, I got real sick of that. And I felt I felt really used because I felt like tellers should get more money. So when they told me that I was going to start working in the vault, I didn't even have any thoughts of taking the money. But because you always have two people in the vault, I wasn't in the vault alone.
Sure.
But you know, the devil works in strange
in mysterious ways.
Yes, and I was just like the Lord. And I was in the vault and, you know, the bitch turned her back and the money was right there. I just grabbed the stack and put it in my bra, right?
Yeah.
Because there really was no camera inside the vault at time. I'm sure there are now, but there were not then. So, you know, I had to work the rest of the day sweating with this money in my bra.
Was it, and then was it when like I, the when most I got stressful it, 6 hours of your life, like working through the rest of that shit?
It wasn't the most. Incarceration was the most.
Yeah.
But it was pretty stressful. And then, you know, with the money, I did a few good things for my parents, but they should have known that something was up because I hadn't been able to do a damn thing for them before.
Yeah.
And, you know, I blessed some people and bought some shit and paid some bills and stuff like that. You know, we were living pretty. Me and my roommate were living in a pretty nice apartment on the beach in Long Beach and had got behind in the rent. And, you know, she was a call girl and I wasn't going to do that. I'd rather be a thief.
Right. So.
Yeah.
So that's how that happened.
Yeah, Chrissy and I talk about this often on the show about it's like, you know, you go to McDonald's, you might get a little attitude. Maybe your burger has the onions you didn't ask for, whatever. And it's like, but if you're working at McDonald's, they don't pay you enough to give a shit. And so, you know, it's like they're the face of the brand, yet the brand who's making billions of dollars can't afford to pay them a couple extra bucks. Now, there's a whole other conversation that goes with that. And I understand it like goes deep.
It certainly is. Because like in this Crenshaw district where I am right now, there was a Ralph's, which is a big grocery store chain out here.
Yep.
There was a Ralph's over there that everybody in the area went to. The people went on strike to just get like $5 raise. And whoever owned the grocery store, rather than pay the $5 raise, they closed the whole grocery store.
No shit. Really?
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, there are. I think we're back in robber baron days. I mean, to put it nicely, I think we're back in robber baron days. Yeah, to put it nicely. And
The rich get richer and the poor get poorer. And the rich don't have a problem with the poor getting poorer.
Mm-hmm. Nope.
And, you know, there's a lot. I embezzled it and did my time. There's a lot of governmental officials that are embezzling and not doing no time.
That's exactly right.
Okay,
And they won't do any time because they protect each other.
And they won't
other.
Do any.
Yeah,
that's right.
Because everyone knows where the bodies are buried. And as I have said on occasion before, when you know where the bodies are buried, when each person knows where the bodies are buried, literally or figuratively, it is mad, M-A-D, to get involved in bringing somebody down. It's mutually assured destruction. Mm-hmm. And no one wants to do that. And that is the balance that keeps some of these people in power and holding the bag of cash. It's just, it's crazy.
Yeah, that's why the Epsteins got away with what they got away with for so long and why... Gayleen and, you know, the gang got away with what they got away with for so long.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody wants to tell on anybody and everybody knows what's going on. So the protection of the children or the protection of women goes out the window. Nobody cares.
Yep.
Or the little people or anything like that. Mm-hmm. So I'm total, you know, activist for the people. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I don't play the industry game. People had asked me before, have you ever been sexually assaulted or anything like that by anybody in the industry? I said they wouldn't dare.
That's right.
Because I'm telling.
Yes.
Yeah. I'm not waiting 20 years to do it either.
No. No.
No, and I'm telling like that day.
Yeah, right. I'm telling that moment because there's...
And I don't care about none of the fallout.
Mm-hmm.
No.
If I didn't have it before I went there, I can clearly live without it. If I never do another movie, TV show, or anything like that, as long as I do my stand-up, which is people-driven, not industry-driven, mm-hmm. and I do podcasts and things like this, I'm still going to eat. Nobody going to stop me. So,
yeah, we were talking to Tom Papa. I think you would know who he was.
Yeah.
And yeah, Tom's great, right? And so we were talking to Tom, and I was asking about late-night television shows, like Jimmy's show and Letterman when he was on and Jay Leno and all this stuff. And he said, you know, I used to get excited about doing that because it would move the needle. But now it's more about curating your audience and then feeding them directly through podcasting, social media, going to their hometown, live performances. Yeah. People can make it
I
without
be,
being on Leno.
That's my goal. I wanted to be the next black female with a late-night talk show. And everybody that I've known that had a talk show told me that how I am, that it'll never work. Like Arsenio said, it's not going to happen. George Lopez said it's not going to happen for network television, mm-hmm. which means they would have to push me over to Netflix or Hulu or Amazon Prime. Well, I think that's jive because it is late night after all. So the kiddies should be in bed. So I'd have more freedom. But see, then you got these affiliates and these sponsors and all those people that are pulling the strings. So I don't care about that. So I probably will have to do it on the streaming service. And I'll probably still get affiliates and sponsors. But they won't be telling me what to do.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, that's where the audience is moving anyways.
That's where the audience is.
Yeah.
Honestly, yeah. Everything streaming.
I just wanted to break the, you know, no shade. But late night TV is lighter than daytime. You got white man after white man after white man after white man after white.
Yeah.
No women, no minorities. So what are we doing?
Are you friends with Arsenio? Are you friendly with Arsenio?
Yeah, we made Coming to America together.
Yeah,
that's right.
I don't know this answer. Did you ever appear on Arsenio's show?
Yes, I did.
I loved that show. That was my favorite. Yeah.
And I wish the reboot had gone a little bit further because I really think Arsenio was great.
But it's the affiliates and shit that pulled the string on it, not the people. If that was the case, George Lopez's show would still be on as well. Mm-hmm.
That's true also. Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, George got screwed because, you know, the network, who knows? George got screwed. There's no doubt about it that George got screwed. And George Lopez's show was really funny. Speaking of daytime television, you were friendly with Wendy Williams, weren't you? You've been on the show a few times.
Yeah.
How do you feel about what's going on with Wendy?
She's all over the news.
Well, I think that it was some dirty pool filming a physically and mentally ill woman.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I think that they should be ashamed of yourself, and the only reason to have done it would have been to help the case of the family against the guardianship.
Mm.
To show that, these people are abusing my sister. Here's what they're doing. Here's what it is. We, the family, are requesting to take control of her, you know, and not to say your family won't rip you off. Some of that may happen.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
But, you know, her son and her dad who is left and her sister and brother surely should have some say-so and the welfare of their family member, not some guardian that nobody knows that has taken her away.
Right.
Nobody's denying that Wendy should maybe be in a facility and in one where she can't check out when she wants to.
Yeah.
Correct.
Nobody's denying that. We want her to get the best health care that she can get mentally and physically.
And physically. Mm-hmm.
And also, she should definitely, even if she don't have access to some of the money, she should definitely have access to some other parts of the money, you know?
Yeah.
And to do with what she wants to. She earned it.
She did earn it.
Yeah, I wonder if that, I think you're right, Linnell. I wonder if that documentary is part of pushing a larger narrative. Right?
Well, see, she probably had a 3-picture deal with Lifetime.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
She delivered the first documentary. It was tremendously popular because her name is on as executive producer for this disastrous documentary that was just done. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So they probably have a contract that she's got to fulfill. And so there's that one, and there may be another one coming, you know, of something, you know, maybe the wrap up or whatever, what her name will be on that. Because clearly she's not in any condition to produce anything.
Yeah. Right. No. Yeah, she does look, I mean, at least what we see on camera, at times she looks confused,
crazy.
And mentally and physically not well. She does look crazy.
Yes.
And I think you're right. I think she's in a situation where she does need help. I'm not diagnosing her, but I'm just saying that I think
it appears that
she needs help and not some stranger managing her affairs and telling her where to go and when to be there. But people who care about her and love her and know her best, those are the people that are most equipped to help her in this situation. And it seems like for some reason, it's just, you know, they're an arm's length away. Mm-hmm. And that seems crazy. But let's talk about you. You recently opened on Broadway. Is that correct?
For Chicago,
did we hear?
Chicago the Musical, yes. I had just a little limited engagement that was facilitated by my appearance on the Tamron Hall show. Mm-hmm. She knew it was a dream of mine to do theater again, because I did theater before I ever started in stand-up, which is one of the reasons I've never really had stage fright or anything, because I was trained in front of live audiences before I ever did stand-up, which I think that's can only be an asset to any stand-up comedian anyway.
Absolutely.
Definitely.
So I got a chance to do it at the Ambassador Theater on Broadway, not off Broadway, around the corner from Broadway, on Broadway. And a lot of family members came, and it was a great experience. I know for a fact, though, that I do not wish to do 8 shows a week.
Right. No,
like
way.
They do.
Yeah, that's a lot.
Hey, no. Lunel, 8 shows a week like we do.
I've gone from doing 6 shows a week, just doing stand-up by myself, I still do 6, but I do 4 on the road and I do 2 at home, my residency. But they're not at 7:30, you know, they're not till 9:30 at night, and you know, and I'm up by then and moving around. So but I don't want to do the Broadway thing. I'm a little bougie now, and you know,
I think you've earned it.
So that's why, you know, Broadway actors, soap opera actors, they should get all the props all the time.
Yeah.
Because they really work their behinds off, you know. And if you're a dancer, you know, you have to take class, you have to stay healthy, you have to stay stretched. You can have injuries, you can be out at any moment, you know, all that stuff. It's dangerous moving part. Like I went to go see Phantom of the Opera just by myself. And that chandelier, you know, if you don't work it right, you're going to get clocked in the head by that old chandelier.
Right. Yeah.
You know, it's dangerous. And so I give all my props to theater actors, all of them.
Me too. I went to go see Cirque du Soleil recently, and one of the acrobats fell. Right now, luckily, they were able to, you know, scoot her off stage, and it looked like she was walking.
Sure, I've seen it in Vegas. The Michael show is Cirque du Soleil. And it's very dangerous.
Yes.
Very, very dangerous.
Yes, but I thought to myself, like, I hope there's some kind of union involved here where she's going to get paid no matter what happens, and that she's going to a hospital to get or doctor or ambulance to get the kind of care she needs without having to worry about paying for that. Because,
that's,
you know, big movie stars, right? They're insured to the hilt. And I'm not saying that their job is easy either, but, you know, they come in, they do bits and pieces at a time. It's a lot of luxuriating that goes on, I'm sure, backstage and in these movies. And then you go to, you see a Broadway play or an off-Broadway play or whatever. These are like, they're doing it 8 times, just like a stand-up comedian. They're doing it 8 times. Never know what the audience is going to bring you. Never know what's going to be thrown your way. Curveball, left ball, people yelling in the audience. It's a whole different animal to do it live. And
absolutely.
That's why we're chicken shit. We just sit behind the microphone here in the comfort of our own studio.
Speaking of bougie, I saw that you had a connection with the Atlanta Housewives. You maybe appeared on a show.
Did you appear
there
on one of their episodes?
Yeah.
Yeah, I did Real Housewives of Atlanta.
Yes.
1 or 2 times.
We're big fans.
Because at that time, Claudia Jordan is my friend. She was on the show.
Oh, yeah.
But
that's
since
right.
then, I've become good friends with Cynthia Bailey. And I
love her.
I know Candy, of course. And
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
We know Pedro.
We know Cynthia. Yeah. Yeah. We had a live streaming channel once, and they did shows on the streaming channel with us from time to time, and they were off the both of them.
In Real Housewives of Beverly Hills, you know, there's Erica Jane is on that show. She also has her residency in Las Vegas. Her and I were both Savage X Fenty lingerie ambassadors for Rihanna same time. So we did Rihanna's fashion show that was on Amazon Prime, and we had to do it during the corona. So you're half naked, but you got a mask on. So don't forget.
Didn't you create an OnlyFans page from that because you had like. With this, as the story goes, as one of our researchers found, that you did the Rihanna lingerie modeling, and then you had extra photos left over. So as kind of a lark, you were like, let me put them on OnlyFans. We'll see if we can make some money.
And it
ended up becoming pretty successful.
Yeah, then they asked for some other things. And I did a little bit of it. But it's like, you know, who are you going to get to photograph you in? How are you going to do all this? And then they want more and they want more. And that's not what I do full time.
Yeah. Of course.
So it was getting a little too demanding and a little too demented. So I shut it down. I shut it down.
Yeah.
One of my favorite bits that you've done, and I think it actually was filmed here in Atlanta, but it's an old bit. It was like, you know, when Facebook was all the rage, and you talk about how Facebook and texting, like DM and texting, and you're like, I got catfished by a dick pic because every dick pic that comes my way is gloriously veiny and huge.
It does not belong to the person who sent it. They're lying, and if you hook up with them and you meet them, you decide to go to bed, you're like, hey.
Wait a minute.
Where's that mole? Didn't you have a mole?
All right. Yeah. So, Lunel, the big announcement is you're doing the Apollo Theater in Harlem on the 26th of April.
Yeah.
And the tickets are available, I'm sure, at apollo.com. And are you excited? This clearly is not your first time on the Apollo stage, right?
It absolutely is performing. I've been to the Apollo. Okay. I've walked the Apollo. I know people who work there curate the place. So I've been all up in the dressing rooms. I've written my name on the wall. I've rubbed the tree trunk. I've done all that, but it was all fake because I was just doing it and then I had to leave.
Yeah.
But this is my first time performing there. And it's so iconic because, you know, it's a, what do they call it? I think it's a landmark of
theater. Yes.
And then, you know, if you look back through the history, especially the Motown era and all the audience, all the people who performed there. And then, you know, hell, James Brown laid in state there, you know, when he passed away. And it's just unbelievable that I am going to get to perform there. But as a comic, and you can attest to this, you really ain't shit until you conquer a New York audience anyway.
That's correct.
You can be the big deal in Mississippi. You can be the big deal in Atlanta. You can be the big deal in San Francisco. But if nobody knows you in New York, you ain't nobody.
That's right. That's true. Congratulations.
My wife asked me the other night, you know, because we have guests on frequently and they're celebrities and they're, you know, wonderful like Lunel. And she said, you know, a lot of them are in LA and a lot of them are in New York. Why do a lot of comics choose New York over LA? And I told her, I said, because the comedy scene is in New York. They have one in LA, but you got to conquer New York.
It's very limited, cliquish in LA. Mm-hmm. And it's all segregated as well. You know, you got your gay night, you got Latin night, you got black night, you got female night, you got all this kind of stuff. But in New York, you can go to any room and everybody is going to give you a chance. You got like 5 seconds to
get to hook them.
You better impress them with what you got on. You better impress them in the tonality of your voice and your language and everything. You might have 5 minutes. You might have 5 minutes, maybe. But they'll grow some balls on you, the New York audience. It's not for kids. Yeah. It's no joke.
Yeah.
Now, for television and film, of course, Los Angeles, this is the place for that. But if you're going to do stand-up, if you're going to end up being a Lenny Bruce, a Richard, a Dice Clay, you know, something like that, you've got to go through New York. It's going to toughen you up and all that. Because, you know, regionally, you can talk about any kind of little mamsy-pamsy shit you want to. But now you can't talk about that shit when you come to New York. You got to talk about what the East Coast people are familiar with. You know, you got to talk about the L train. You got to talk about, you know where the yeah. Caniche is, know where to get a good... You know, uh-huh. we're Canal Street. You gotta uh-huh. know what you're talking about.
Yeah. What I love Lunell and
yeah.
your frankness, your comedy is so in your face. I love it. I've been a big fan for a long time.
That's incredible. You know, you never know who knows you. And I'm always just like I'm like with the click that I mentioned
yeah.
before.
Yeah.
I'm like, what in the world does Kathy Griffin know about me to invite me to her home? Well, and now we're very good friends, you know. You yep. just got to give people a chance, you know. You can't really judge a book. I've been guilty of that.
Me
I've
too.
Been guilty of
All
that
the time.
Before.
Sure.
But I learned that you really just can't do that because you don't know. And then the person that you think is a loser and a hack, which that's my favorite word. That's why I like hack.
I like hack too.
I'll
yeah.
tell somebody a hack in a minute. But, you know, you may in this town, in this industry, they may write something like a Issa Rae to start off on Twitter or become something on Instagram, go from Instagram to YouTube to network. You may think somebody's a hack, and next thing you know, you're auditioning for that.
That's right.
That's true.
It's so true. You know, yeah, I oftentimes now, I mean, I was never, I at least to think in my older, as I get a little bit older, I'm less and less judgmental because I realize that first impressions are actually not everything, right? Because people can surprise you.
It depends on the person.
I agree.
You know, because I think even as a comic, we have like a sixth sense. We can read bullshit really quick.
Yeah. Yes.
So sometimes your first impression is who that fool is.
Yes.
But sometimes it's not. So it's a crapshoot sometimes.
Well, I've learned to trust my intuition, but give yeah. people a second chance, right? But always trust my intuition because 99% of the time I'm right. But that's just because of life experiences.
But as a female, we can give you a second chance, but we might give you a second chance, with a hand. Yeah.
Oh, don't I know it? Yeah, don't I know it?
Yeah, you can get a second chance, but I still got my eye on you.
All right, Lunell, tell Kathy and Rosie and Sia, and if you get a chance to talk to Madge, tell her, to get her clock fixed.
Madge.
Tell Madge to get her clock fixed. Tell all the ladies we said hello. I hope you have a wonderful
great time.
You'll come back on. I know we'll have you back on. Apollo, the 26th of April, tickets available. Go get them now. Follow her on social media. She's got so much material out there. And
just if you want to see this stuff we're talking about, follow me on Instagram at Lunell, at Lunell. And if you're planning your summer Vegas vacays, plan in a Sunday or a Monday and come see me at Jimmy Kimmel's Comedy Club.
I'm going to be doing a conference later on this year. Like I'm going to an industry conference later on this year in Vegas. I'm going to see if I can come see you.
I've got material about conferences too, but I've got
there's a lot of material.
Yeah,
conferences.
Yeah, yeah,
I got conferences.
Yeah, another word for let's go sleep with somebody.
Exactly. Let's get drunk.
Right.
Lunell, you're the best. The legend, Lunell. Thank you so much for coming and spending time with us.
Thank y'all so much.
We'll talk to you soon. Michael and Prince. And
all right. Bye, y'all.
Bye.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Well, thank the baby Jesus. Brian took a breath, and now I will use this opportunity to let you know that we've got a brand new phone number. That's right, it's 212-433-3TCB, and you can text us anytime you want. Or you can call and leave us a voicemail, and we might just use your message on the show. Once Brian gets through all the messages he missed last year, of course. Anyway, you can also find and DM us on Instagram at The Commercial Break and on TikTok at TCB Podcast. And of course, all of our audio and video is easily found on tcbpodcast.com. Now I'm going to thank G one more time that we have sponsors. So thank G, and here they are.
Knowing how to speak and understand a new language can be an invaluable tool when traveling, meeting new friends, or just even to master a new skill.
But it's not always simple when you're bogged down by textbooks and structure classes. That's why so many people trust Rosetta Stone. Rosetta Stone is the most trusted language learning program, available on desktop or as an app. It truly immerses you in the language you want to learn, like Spanish, French, Italian, Chinese, and more. You won't just be studying English translations. The Rosetta Stone intuitive process helps you pick up a language naturally, first with words, then phrases, then sentences. Don't put off learning that language. There's no better time than right now to get started. For a very limited time, listeners can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off. Visit rosettastone.com/RS10. That's 50% off unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your life. Redeem your 50% off at rosettastone.com/RS10 today.
Wow, Lunel is...
She's a force.
Fucking fun. She is a force.
I love her so much. And her badass Gucci rhinestone glasses.
Can you believe that?
I mean,
she said she's bougie.
Queen.
She is right, but she wears it well. I'm telling you what.
Oh, my God.
I've been following her for a while on Instagram. And she had, like, she's just one of these naturally funny human beings. She takes no shit. She takes no prisoner. She says exactly what's on her mind.
Yep.
Be damned. She is literally going to the Madonna concert tomorrow night.
I know, with all
and
those
she
people.
Is telling Madonna to please be fucking on time because it's rude and unacceptable. And she wouldn't hire Madonna to do anything because Madonna is always constantly late, which is a true story, by the way. Madonna is notoriously late on these concerts, one time like 4 hours. But she's going with Kathy Griffin. Who knew?
Yeah,
who knew
Lunel
was mixing it up with Kathy Griffin?
I love the crew.
I do love the crew, too.
That came together on that.
Sia? Is Sia still wearing her face hair?
I don't know. I think she's kind of moved past that phase, yeah.
I read somewhere that she originally did that because she was a little bit older and she felt like...
Yeah, exactly.
She didn't want people judging her based on her looks.
Right.
But then also, I think she
wanted to get recognized.
Yeah, avoid the fame. God damn, we should start doing that. Mm-hmm. Because I'm pretty sure any day now, people are going to start recognizing us somewhere. Like, most likely on our Instagram channel,
right?
Where they're there. But anyway, someday we'll get recognized. And hot take, she thinks Wendy Williams' family has helped to orchestrate some of this documentary shit to get the public to put some pressure on this conservatorship. And I agree with it 100%.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know that much about Wendy Williams. I would watch her in the afternoon sometimes when I was at home sick, like a small child.
Yes.
I'd put on Wendy Williams, you know, because she was entertaining. Wendy was always entertaining.
She was.
Yeah.
She really was.
She's a little too gossip houndy. The show was a little too gossip houndy.
But that was kind of her thing.
That was her
too.
Thing. Yeah. But I could guarantee it didn't matter. Like, it wasn't bothersome to me. I would watch the show and I would love it. And Lunel has been on a couple of different times on Wendy Williams. And what a sad thing to happen. Apparently she's got that same thing that Bruce Willis had.
Mm.
Like, her family is saying she had the same thing, frontal lobe dementia. And what a sad thing to have happen. Someone needs to get in between that conservator and Wendy and show her some love. And did you watch the documentary?
No, I haven't watched it, but it's been popping up in my news feed a lot about what's going on, and that there's concern.
Oh, there should be.
Mm-hmm.
So, hot take, she's going to see Madonna with Kathy Griffin and Sia.
And Rosie O'Donnell.
Oh, and Rosie O'Donnell.
And I think Paris Hilton, if I...
I think she said Paris Hilton.
I think she did.
I don't know. We just had the conversation. Now I can't remember.
I know.
That's how good my brain is. But most importantly, and as she mentioned, she is playing the Apollo Theater. So if you are in New York, or if you're going to be in New York on the 26th of April, you can now get tickets by going to, I think it's theapollo.com. We'll put a link in the show notes because I'm probably wrong. And that way you can actually go to the right place, get your tickets, show some Lunel some love. She's also at Jimmy Kimmel's Comedy Club in Las Vegas, now reopened apparently for business.
A residency.
And I was just looking, they've got quite a few resident comics and they're all notable names. You would want to go there. And it looks like really suave in there.
I guess, you know, Jimmy's going to do it, right?
Yeah, you know Jimmy's going to do it, right? He's got a little extra money, right? He's got a lot of that extra late night cash. They're still paying those people pretty well, aren't they?
I think so.
Yeah, he's the last of a dying breed, which makes me kind of sad. I was actually talking to Astrid about this, and I'm like, I think podcasting might be the new late night. It's not that we're like have as many people watching, but we kind of do have as many people listening or watching. And this is where everybody now goes to get their celebrity interviews. And it's just too, like,
diluted and fractured.
In order to, they come on these things in order to get their press for their tours or whatever it is. We are getting a ton of this kind of stuff. And thank God for us, right? Thank God for the commercial break, sad for Jimmy Kimmel. But, you know, I think Jimmy's doing okay.
I think he's going to be okay.
Jimmy, do us a favor. Float us some of that money and we'll let you take the guests on your own. Here's a good exchange, Jimmy. We'll give you the guests. We'll give you exclusivity. We will not have the same guests that you have on. If you could just give us, I don't know, what do we say? Any money that you make from the comedy club over and above the bills, like any profit you make, just send it over to the commercial break. It'll be a donation, a charitable donation that you can write off at the end of the year. How's that?
We're going to incorporate as a 501c3.
I think we are a 501c3. Regardless of whether or not we incorporate, somebody's got to take mercy on us for sure. Somebody has to take mercy on us. But I love Lunel. I think she's great.
Oh, she's so fantastic. Her personality is just amazing.
Yeah, go check out her socials at Lunel. That's
L-U-E-N-E-L. And her Prince and Michael Jackson thing, too.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. I mean, tattoos.
Yeah, for some of the younger audience, they're going to be like, Michael Jackson, what a fucking creep ball. I understand. It's a complicated, muddy situation. And if you weren't alive when Michael was at the height of his powers and fame and musicality, then for you, this is an easy call to make. He's a creep who had some dealings with some children that were not above board and probably like illegal and immoral. That doesn't take away, I don't think, some of the music that he left for us to listen to. It's hard to separate the man from the behaviors or the music from the behaviors sometimes, because I still do like some
man
of those songs.
Yeah. Yeah.
And Prince, forget about it. Prince was just a god.
He was.
That's what he was. All his sex was consensual. I guarantee you that.
Oh, yeah.
How do I know that? I don't know that. I just like to think that.
Yeah. There's been no crazy stories coming out.
No, and you would think Prince being his fan. I mean, there are lots of crazy stories about Prince, but they don't have anything to do with, you know, inviting you over to ride roller coasters and spend the night with popcorn buckets.
Right.
Yeah. Gross. I just think about it. It's just gross. It's just gross. Okay, Chrissy and I want you to be a part of the show. We would love to do some live Ask TCBs right here on the show. You be a part of it. You come on and you tell us your story and ask us the question directly to our faces or through our ears. We would love that. But the only way we can get you on the show is if you text us and let us know you want to be on the show. That's the only way we can do this, because we record in secret at secret times in secret locations.
Secret locations.
Which means mainly we don't even know what our own schedule is.
Right.
So from day to day, hour to hour, it changes. So in order to catch us, what you got to do is you got to text our hotline. Let us know you want to be on the show. You got a question to ask. You need some advice. You got a life story you want to share. We take it all. Serious, funny, in between, whatever it is, let us know. 212-433-3TCB. That's 212-433-3TCB. Text us that you have a story or you want to ask for our advice, and give us a phone number that we can reach you at, and then we will communicate with you to coordinate. And then look out for lots of changes, because that's how our schedule happens. And then also, you can leave us a voicemail if you want to do that. You can leave us a voicemail also on that same number, 212-433-3TCB. Toll free from anywhere in the world. Comments, questions, concerns, ask Brian's mom. Mom will be back on in the next couple of weeks here. She's feeling better from her little injury. So I'm excited to have mom back in the show.
Of course. I can't wait.
TCBpodcast.com. That's where you go. You find out more about Chrissy and I. You can read all the show notes, all the audio, all the video right there at one location. TCBpodcast.com. Also, Piggy fronting stickers are still available, but they're going fast. So if you want one, go to the Contact Us button on the page, or the Contact Us page. Hit the drop-down menu. It'll say, I want my free sticker. Give us your address. We'll send you a sticker. At the commercial break on Instagram, TCB Podcast on TikTok, and YouTube.com/TheCommercialBreak for all the interviews and videos right there at YouTube. Okay, Chrissy, that's all I can do today.
I think
Lunel has been so exciting she exhausted me, but I love you.
I love you.
Best to you.
Best to you.
And best to you out there in the podcast universe. Until next time, Chrissy and I always say, we do say, and we must say,
goodbye.
I take a dick and keep on licking.